الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. We've started some lectures from the book Hayat al-Sahaba, and inshallah this week what we're going to discuss is the da'wah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. How did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam used to give da'wah? And this basically stretches through many chapters, and you know, depending on who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam talked to and how he gave the da'wah, it basically will be discussing that in many chapters. Today's chapter will be specifically about him giving da'wah to Abu Talib and how the enemies of Islam of the time tried to dissuade Abu Talib from accepting Islam. So the chapter is actually entitled Bab Kayfa Kanat Da'wah ila Allah wa ila Rasulih sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ahab ila sahabati radiyallahu anhum min kulli shay. How was da'wah and things related to da'wah more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet and the Sahaba than anything else? وَكَيْفَ كَانُوا حَرِيصِينَ عَلَىٰ أَن يَهْتَدِيَ النَّاسِ. How they were so eager that people should be guided. وَيَدْخُلُوا فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. And they should enter into the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَنْغَمِسُوا فِي رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. And they should be surrounded by the rahmah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَيْفَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي ذَلِكَ لِإِصَالِ الْخَلْقِ إِلَى الْحَقِّ. And how their effort was continuous so that the khalq, meaning the creation, could meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing that the author relates is a riwayah from Tabarani about this verse in the Quran, فَمِنْهُمْ شَقِيٌّ وَسَعِيدٌ. فَمِنْهُمْ شَقِيٌّ وَسَعِيدٌ. Basically the summary of that is that some people are going to be ashqiya, they're going to be misfortunate, and some people are going to be from the su'ada, su'ada meaning the fortunate people, the ones that are going to be guided. So about this, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates, it's a riwayah of Tabrani, he says about this, he says, فَمِنْهُمْ شَقِيٌّ وَسَعِيدٌ وَنَحْوُ هَذَا مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ قَالْ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ كَانَ يَحْرُصُ أَنْ يُؤْمِنَ جَمِيعُ النَّاسِ وَيُبَايِعُونَهُ عَلَى الْهُدَى. The Prophet ﷺ was always eager that all humanity, every single human, should accept guidance and they should make bay'ah and pledge allegiance on his hand, upon guidance. فَأَخْبَرَهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَنَّهُ لَا يُؤْمِنُ إِلَّا مَنْ سَبَقَ لَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ السَّعَادَةَ فِي الذِّكْرِ الْأَوَّلِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed him that no person was going to have iman except that person for whom iman had been written in the first instance. Meaning when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written guidance for people, those people will have iman. And of course we've discussed that already, that was the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that who is going to have iman or not. But ultimately it depends on a person's efforts and a person's interest in accepting iman, and that will reflect in the person actually achieving iman or not. وَلَا يَضِلُّ إِلَّا مَنْ سَبَقَ لَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ شِقَاءٌ فِي الذِّكْرِ الْأَوَّلِ. And the person who had been misguided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the shiqa and misfortune had been written for him, that person is only going to be misguided. ثُمَّ قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لِنَبِيهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to his beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. Maybe you're going to destroy yourself, O Prophet of Allah, if they don't accept iman. So this was the concern and the worry of the Prophet ﷺ all the time, that every single person that I come across, how can that person be saved from the hellfire and put into Jannah? And when a person did not accept iman, it used to concern him and worry him, because he knew what the outcome of that person would be if he died without iman. And this used to worry him. So to console him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to reveal various verses in the Qur'an. Amongst them was this one, that you are going to destroy yourself if they don't become mu'min. And in Surah Al-Kahf, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِن لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. O Prophet of Allah, you're going to destroy yourself in their footsteps, meaning by pursuing them, if they don't accept Iman, out of worry, out of grief, out of sorrow, you're going to destroy yourself. And the completion of the verse, إِنَّ شَأْنُ نَزِّلْ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ آيَةً فَظَلَّتْ أَعْنَاقُهُمْ لَهَا خَاضِعِينَ. If we wanted, we could send some sign down to them from the sky, and their necks would be lowered to that, meaning they would be humbled before that sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if they saw it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want, and He did not leave miracles as a condition for the guidance. The guidance had to be from a person's own wish and desire, and then ultimately the person would be guided. After that, the various riwayat about Abu Talib and how he was on his deathbed. It's narrated from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. He says, لَمَّا مَرِضَ أَبُو طَالِبْ دَخَلَ عَلَيْهِ رَحْتٌ مِّن قُرَيْشٍ. When Abu Talib, this was the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, who supported him through thick and thin, and he helped him through so many difficulties, and he protected him from the evils of Quraysh as long as he could. So when he became sick, a group from Quraysh came to him and they started saying, "Hey, إِنَّ ابْنُ أَخِيكَ يَشْتُمُ آلِهَتَنَا. Your nephew, he is insulting our gods. وَيَفْعَلُ وَيَفْعَلُ وَيَقُولُ وَيَقُولُ. He's doing this and he's doing that, and he's saying this and he's doing that. He's saying that. فَلَوْ بَعَثْتَ إِلَيْهِ فَنَهَيْتَهُ. So why don't you call for him and forbid him from doing this? فَبَعَثَ إِلَيْهِ. So Abu Talib sent for him. فَجَاءَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So the Prophet ﷺ came, فَدَخَلَ الْبَيْتِ. He entered the house. وَبَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَ أَبِي طَالِبٍ قَدْرُ مَجْلِسِ رَجُلٍ. Between him and Abu Talib, there was a little bit of space in which he could have come and squeezed in and sat right next to Abu Talib. فَخَشِي أَبُو جَهَلْ لَعْنَهُ اللَّهُ أَنْ جَلَسَ إِلَى جَنْبِ أَبِي طَالِبٍ. So Abu Jahl, he became afraid that the Prophet ﷺ would sit right next to Abu Talib. وَهَذَا يَكُونُ عَرَقَّ لَهُ عَلَيْهِ. And this would soften Abu Talib up for him. فَوَثَبَ فَجَلَسَ فِي ذَلِكَ الْمَجْلِسِ. He leapt, he jumped, and he sat in that space so that he could be next to Abu Talib. وَلَمْ يَجِدْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَجْلِسًا قُرْبَ عَمِّهِ. So the Prophet ﷺ didn't find any place close to his uncle. فَجَلَسَ عِنْدَ الْبَابِ. So he sat right next to the door. فَقَالَ لَهُ أَبُو طَالِبْ. Abu Talib said to him, أَيْ ابن أخي. Oh my nephew, مَا لِقَوْمِكْ يَشْكُونَكْ. What's wrong with your people? They're complaining about you. يَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّكَ تَشْتُمُ آلِهَتَهُمْ وَتَقُولُ وَتَقُولُ. They are claiming and they're thinking that you are insulting their gods, and you are saying this and saying that. قال وأكثر عليه من القول وتكلم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال. So they said so many more things, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم responded, and he said, يا عم, O my beloved uncle, إني أريدهم على كلمة واحدة يقولونها تدين لهم بها العرب وتؤدي إليهم بها العجم الجزية. I just want them to say one sentence. And that sentence will be so powerful that if they say it, then the Arabs are going to follow them, they're going to be obedient and subservient to them, and the Ajam, they're going to give them the jizya. فَزَعُوا لِكَلِمَتِهِ. They became upset and very active and hyper at what the Prophet ﷺ was saying. فَقَالَ الْقَوْمُ كَلِمَ وَاحِدَةً. So the people said, just one sentence? Just one sentence? نَعْمْ وَأَبِيكَ عَشْرًا. I swear by your father, they said, I swear by your father, if you give us 10 sentences to say, we would say them. 10 sentences. فَقَالُوا وَمَا هِيَ. Okay, tell us, what is this sentence? وَقَالَ أَبُو طَالِب. Abu Talib said, وَأَيُّ كَلِمَةٍ هِيَ يَبْنَ أَخِي. Which sentence is it, O my nephew? قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. The Prophet ﷺ said, that sentence is, La ilaha illallah. فَقَامُوا فَزِعِينَ يَنْفُضُونَ ثِيَابَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَقُولُونَ. They got up upset and shaking their clothes. And it's kind of like in those days, if you stood up and you shake your clothes, it's kind of like an insult to the people that you are sitting with, that you are basically washing your hands of them. So they got up and they started dusting their clothes. وَهُمْ يَقُولُونَ, while they were saying, أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. Is he making all of the gods into one god? This is something very strange. And of course they were worshipping so many idols. Of course they believed that there was one superior god, but this superior god needed all of these idols as helpers. And because of that, they were saying that, okay, all of these 360 gods cannot solve our problems, and we have so many needs and necessities, how can one solve all of our problems? So he's making all of the gods into one god. This is something very, very strange. This is a verse from Surah Sa'd, at the beginning of Surah Sa'd. قال وَنَزَلَتْ مِنْ هَذَا الْمَوْضِعِ إِلَىٰ قَوْلِهِ بَلْ لَمَّا يَذُوقُ عَذَابٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse in Surah Sa'd until بَلْ لَمَّا يَذُوقُ عَذَابٍ. But up until now, they have not tasted the punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of this was revealed. Okay, so that's one riwayah. The next riwayah, also from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, it mentions, لَمَّا مَشَوْا إِلَىٰ أَبِي طَالِبْ وَكَلَّمُوهُ. When they walked to Abu Talib and they talked to him, وَهُمْ أَشْرَافُ قَوْمِهِ. They were the superiors of the people of the time, meaning the leaders. They were Utba ibn Rabi'ah, Shayba ibn Rabi'ah, Abu Jahl ibn Hisham, Umay ibn Khalaf, Abu Sufyan ibn Harb. And these were the main people from the Ashraf. فَقَالُوا يَا أَبَا طَالِبْ. They said, O Abu Talib, إِنَّكَ مِنَّا حَيْثُ قَدْ عَلِمْتُ. You have a status amongst us which you know about. وَقَدْ حَضَرَكَ مَا تَرَى. And the situation has come to you that you see. Meaning you see what your nephew is doing. وَتَخَوَّفْنَا عَلَيْكَ. We're afraid. Or they were saying that your situation is such that you're about to die. وَتَخَوَّفْنَا عَلَيْكَ. And we're afraid for you. وَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ الَّذِي بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ ابْنِ أَخِيكَ. And you know what is happening between us and between your nephew, and what we have against him. فَدْعُوهُ فَخُذْ لَنَا مِنْهُ وَخُذْ لَهُ مِنَّا لِيَكُفَّ عَنَّا وَلِنَكُفَّ عَنْهُ وَلِيَدَعْنَا وَدِينَنَا وَلِنَدَعْهُ وَدِينَهُ. So call him and take for us from him, meaning we'll make some compromises, and he should make some compromises, and we'll meet each other, you know, halfway. So he should stop the things that we want him to stop from us, and we will stop harming him and bothering him. And he should leave our deen, and we will leave his deen. So let's basically come to a compromise and come to some sort of agreement so that, you know, this thing can come to an end once and for all. فَبَعَثَ إِلَيْهِ أَبُو طَالِبْ فَجَاءَهُ. So Abu Talib sent for him and he came to him. فَقَالَ يَبْنَ أَخِي. He said, Oh, my nephew, هَاُولَيْ أَشْرَافُ قَوْمِكْ. These are the superiors of your people. قَدْ اجْتَمَعُوا إِلَيْكْ. They've come and gathered for you. لِيُعْطُوكَ وَلْيَأْخُذُوا مِنْكْ. So that they can give you and they can take from you. Meaning there's going to be some give and take over here. Some compromises have to be made. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ كَلِمَةً وَاحِدَةً تُعْطَوْنَهَا تَمْلِكُونَ بِهَا الْعَرَبْ وَتَدِينُ لَكُمْ بِهَا الْعَجَمْ. It's just one sentence that you've been given. And this sentence is such that you are going to rule over the Arabs, and the Ajam are going to follow in your footsteps. The non-Arabs are going to follow in your footsteps. فَقَالَ أَبُو جَهَلٍ نَعَمْ وَأَكْبِيكَ وَعَشْرَ كَلِمَاتٍ. Yes, I swear by your father, just bring even 10 sentences, we'll follow them. قَالْ تَقُولُونَ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّاللَّهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you should say لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّاللَّهِ. وَتَخْلَعُونَ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِهِ. And you should leave everything that you are worshipping other than him. فَصَفَّقُوا بِأَيْدِيهِمْ ثُمَّ قَالُوا. they started clapping their hands, which that in those days was a sign of an insult. And they said, Ya Muhammad, أَتُرِيدُ أَن تَجْعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهُ وَاحِدًا? O Muhammad, do you want to make all the gods into just one god? إِنَّ أَمْرَكَ الْعَجَبُ. Indeed, your situation is very strange. قال ثم قال بعضهم لبعض إنه والله ما هذا الرجل بمعطيكم شيئا مما تريدون. They started talking amongst themselves and said, I swear by Allah, this man is not going to give you what you want from him. فانطلقوا وانضوا على دين آبائكم حتى يحكم الله بينكم وبينه. Come on, let's go and we'll continue to go on the religion of our fathers, our forefathers, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides and judges between us and him. ثم تفرقوا, and they all separated. فقال أبو طالب والله يا ابن أخي. Abu Talib said, I swear by Allah, O my nephew, ما رأيتك سألتهم شططا. O my nephew, I didn't see you asking them for something very big, something huge. Your demand was something very simple. قال فطمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فيه. So the riwayah, the rawi says, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had an eagerness that he should become Muslim. Abu Talib should become Muslim. فَجَعَلَ يَقُولُ لَهُ أَيْ عَمْ. He started saying to him, O my beloved uncle, فَأَنْتَ فَقُلْهَا أَسْتَحِلُّ لَكَ بِهَا الشَّفَاعَةَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. My uncle, you say it. You say لا إله إلا الله. I will think it's permissible for me and halal for me to make shafa'ah for you and intercede for you on the Day of Judgment. فَلَمَّا رَأَى حِلْصَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ قَالَ يَبْنَ أَخِي. When Abu Talib saw the eagerness of his nephew, of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, O my beloved nephew, وَاللَّهِ لَوْلَا مَخَافَةَ السُّبَّ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَى بَنِي أَبِيكَ مِنْ بَعْدِي وَأَنْ تَظُنَّ قُرَيْشٌ أَنِّي إِنَّمَا قُلْتُهَا جَزْعًا مِنَ الْمَوْتِ لَقُلْتُهَا. And it was kind of an arrogance of his status that he had, and he didn't want people to think that he was a coward. He said, Oh my nephew, I swear by Allah, if it wasn't for the fear of an insult upon you and upon your ancestors after me, and that the Quraysh will think that I said it because I was afraid of death, I would say it. Okay, if it wasn't for these things, first and foremost, they're going to insult you. They're going to insult your ancestors for as long as, you know, they can. As long as your ancestors are going on, they will insult them. And also, they're going to say that I was afraid of death. So if it wasn't for these things, I would say, La ilaha illallah. La aquluha illa li asurraka biha. And I would not say it except to make you happy. Fadhakar al hadith. And the hadith goes on. And the next riwayah, it is similar. It's a riwayat of Bukhari. It's narrated that from Ibn al-Musayyib, who narrates from his father, أَنَّ أَبَا طَالِبْ لَمَّا حَضَرَتْهُ الْوَفَاةُ دَخَلَ عَلَيْهِ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ وَعِنْدَهُ أَبُو جَهَلْ. When death came to Abu Talib, the Prophet ﷺ entered upon him and Abu Jahl was sitting with him. فَقَالْ أَيْعَمْ قُلْ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. He said, O my uncle, say La ilaha illallah. كَلِمَةً أُحَاجُ لَكَ بِهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. It is a sentence with which I can dispute with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can give as hujjah in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. فَقَالَ أَبُو جَهَلْ وَعَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنِ أُبَيْ أُمَيَّةِ يَا أَبَا طَالِبْ أَتَرْغَبُ عَمْ مِلَّةِ عَبْدُ الْمُطَّلِبِ. Abu Jahl and Abdullah ibn Abi Umayyah, according to this riwayah, they were sitting there and they started telling him that you're going to turn away from the religion of Abdul Muttalib. فَلَمْ يَزَالَ يُكَلِّمَاهُ حَتَّى قَالَ آخَرَ مَا كَلَّمَهُمْ بِهِ. They continued to talk to him. They continued to talk to him. They continued to persuade him or dissuade him from saying La ilaha illallah until the last thing that he said was عَلَى مِلَّةِ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ, meaning I'm dying on the religion of Abdul Muttalib. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ لَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكَ مَا لَمْ أُنْهَ عَنْكَ. The Prophet ﷺ, despite the fact that he died without iman, he said, I'm going to seek forgiveness for you until I am forbidden from it. فَنَزَلَتْ مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبَى مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُمْ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse, that it's not allowed for the Prophet and the people of Iman that they should seek forgiveness for the polytheists, for the mushrikeen, even if they are relatives, after it has been apparent, it is clear to them that they are the dwellers of the hellfire. So, with this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam from seeking forgiveness for Abu Talib. وَنَزَلَتْ إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Also, this verse was revealed that, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you do not give hidayah to whom you want, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives hidayah to whom He wants. And in the riwayat of Muslim, it's narrated the same as this, and it's also mentioned in the riwayat of Muslim, فَلَمْ يَزَلْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam يَعْرِضُهَا عَلَيْهِ. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam continued to present La ilaha illallah to him, وَيَعُوذَانِ لَهُ بِتِلْكَ الْمَقَالَةِ. And they kept on repeating the same insult to him, basically putting him to shame and embarrassing him with these sentences that you're going to turn away from the religion of your forefathers. حَتَّى قَالَ آخَرْ مَا قَالْ عَلَى مِلَّةِ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ. Until the last thing that he said was that I'm dying on the religion of Abdul Muttalib. وَأَبَىٰ أَن يَقُولْ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّاللَّهِ. He refused to say لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّاللَّهِ. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَمَّا لَأَسْتَغْفِرَنَّ لَكَ مَا لَمْ أُنْهَا عَنْكَ. I will continue to make istighfar for you until I am forbidden from this. فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ يَعَنِي بِذَلِكَ فَذَكَرَ الْآيَتَيْنِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayatain, the two ayahs that we had just mentioned. And the last riwayah is again a riwayat of Tabarani and Bukhari. They narrate from Aqil ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. He said, جاءت قريش إلى أبي طالب فذكر الحديث كما سيأتي في باب تحمل الشدائد وفيه. فقال له أبو طالب يا ابن أخي والله ما علمت إن كنت لي لمطاعا وقد جاء قومك يزعمون أنك تأتيهم في كعبتهم وفي ناديهم تسمعهم ما يؤذيهم. Abu Talib, in this riwayah, is mentioned that Abu Talib said to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, Oh, my beloved nephew, he said, I swear by Allah that I know that you're not going to follow what I'm going to say to you. Okay. I swear by Allah, I know that you're not going to follow what I'm going to say to you. But what has happened is, your people have come and they are claiming that you are coming to them in their Kaaba and in their streets, and you are making them listen to such things that are harming them. فَإِنْ رَأَيْتَ أَن تَكُفَ عَنْهُمْ فَحَلَقَ بِبَصْرِهِ لَسَّمَاءِ. So what do you think that you should stop this? Stop, you know, these actions that you're doing. So the Prophet ﷺ, he looked towards the sky, you know, either out of exasperation or to get guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فقال والله ما أنا بأقدر أن أدعى ما بعثت به من أن يشعل أحدكم من هذه الشمس شعلة من نار. He said, I don't have the ability to stop the da'wah that I'm doing, just like you don't have the ability to take a shu'ala, meaning a spark from the sun, and bring it down. You cannot do that, and I cannot stop the da'wah. Just as it's impossible for you to do that, this is impossible for me to stop doing my work of da'wah. And in the Bayhaqi, in the riwayat of Bayhaqi, it's mentioned that Abu Talib, he said to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya ibn akhi, inna qawmaka qad ja'uni wa qalu kada wa kada, fa abiq alayya wa ala nafsik, wa la tahmilni min al amri ma la utiqu ana wa la anta. Abu Talib said to him, Oh my nephew, your people, they came to me and they said such and such a thing. So have mercy upon me. Abiq alayya means have mercy upon me and upon yourself. And don't put upon me the weight that I don't have the ability to sustain and carry. And not even you have the ability to carry that weight. فَكْفُفْ عَنْ قَوْمِكْ مَا يَكْرَهُونَ مِنْ قَوْلِكْ So stop saying those things to your people what they dislike. فَظَنَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ أَنْ قَدْ بَدَى لَعْمَهُ فِيهِ وَأَنَّهُ خَاذِلُهُ وَمُسْلِمُهُ وَضَعُفَ عَنِ الْقِيَامِ مَاهُ So what the Prophet ﷺ thought at that time was that after all of this support that he's been given by his uncle, even Abu Talib had become exasperated and he had given up hope in supporting him and he had basically decided not to support him anymore. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَا عَمْ The Prophet ﷺ said to him, Oh my uncle, لَوْ وُضِعَتِ الشَّمْسُ فِي يَمِينِي وَالْقَمَرُ فِي يَسَارِي مَا تَرَكْتُ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ حَتَّى يُظْهِرَهُ اللَّهُ أَوْ أُهْلَكَ فِي طَلَبِي The Prophet ﷺ said, I swear by Allah, O my uncle, if the sun was put into my right hand and the moon was put into my left hand, I would not leave my responsibility until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it victorious or I get destroyed in seeking that victory. ثُمَّ اسْتَعْبَرَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَبَكَى Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم's eyes welled up with tears and he started crying. So, I mean, this is the eagerness that the Prophet ﷺ had. The people were against him so much, but yet he was so persistent in his goal of trying to save each and every person from the hellfire and bringing them back towards Jannah, towards success of this world and the hereafter. So, just imagine, I mean, the whole people, the whole of the nation is against you, and you are trying to achieve a goal that seems impossible, especially in the beginning of Islam, when he was persecuted so much in the time which was, the time of Mecca. It was a time when very few people became Muslim, and he was persecuted so much, and despite that persecution, he remained steadfast, and he persisted. Just imagine how much courage and how much willpower this man had. And this is the thing that we have to learn from. And living in a non-Muslim society, we can never ever get to a stage of being persecuted like the Prophet ﷺ did. You know, we have the freedom of religion, we have the freedom of speech, we can talk about our religion, we can propagate our religion, we can spread our religion, we can practice our religion. So why is it that we give up so easily when we are faced with some kind of hurdle, some kind of problem? The first thing that goes is, for example, we get a job in which we have to leave our Jummah, the Jummah is sacrificed. Okay? If we have to leave our Salat, the Salat is sacrificed. The first thing that goes out of the window is our Deen. How is it that we cannot have that same kind of steadfastness, that same kind of willpower, that same kind of sabr and patience that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will make the way easy for me if I stand firm and if I am following His religion, if I am doing what I am supposed to be doing as a Muslim. So we have to learn from this persistence and the willpower of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said in him.